Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas along with Tom Kelly today. I'm filling in for Joe Giglio. Joe back tomorrow. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. How you join the show? Talking about a number of topics today. Devontae Smith contract extension, 3 years, $75 million. As you said, Hugh, he got paid.
Got paid.
Now on top of his 2 years remaining on his deal, he'll be with the Eagles through 2028 here, and we're asking the question, well, I think everybody can agree this is a good signing. Like, nobody's going to be upset with the fact that the Eagles are keeping Devontae Smith around, but they've clearly chosen this offseason, they're prioritizing their offense, not just this year, but beyond, and not really focusing on improving the defense much this year, aside from C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Bryce Huff, but that needs to be tempered a little bit because of the Hassan Reddick move. Not really doing a ton to improve that defense.
It makes me feel like we still have the draft, that we're going to probably make some moves in the draft. But even with that being said, it feels like they're going to go with my original premise of playing young guys. I know that that's not what people want to hear, you know, especially when you talk about some of these young guys that are going to be probably going to be like two or three young guys that are going to be out there playing. But it just feels like that's what they're going to do. There's still some holes on the defensive side of the ball. But I think they're going into this thing thinking – that the offense is going to be the one that carries the day.
And, hey, they're going to need to. And this is really an historic extension by the Eagles. And this is from Andrew Brandt, says, with this Devontae Smith contract, the Eagles are the first team in NFL history having two receivers making over $20 million a year.
Yep.
So that's pretty crazy. And then Ben Solak of The Ringer tweets out these numbers. The Eagles now have the fourth highest paid quarterback, fourth highest paid running back, fourth and fifth highest paid receivers, fifth highest paid tight end, fourth highest paid offensive tackle, fifth highest paid offensive tackle, and the highest paid guard in football in Landon Davis.
They spent a lot of money on that offensive side of the ball, man. They're expecting that offense to come up big for them.
Yeah, so are you concerned about the lack of defense, or do you agree the Eagles are doing the right thing going all in on this offense? One of the things we're talking about, also, Sixers Heat, Wednesday night play-in game, confident or nervous? Hugh's very confident. I am very nervous. I can't escape the past scars of the Sixers playoffs, and you look at the Heat, they always win this kind of game. The Sixers always seem to lose this kind of game, but hey, this is a game the Sixers should win. They're the better team with Embiid on the floor, and we'll see if they can get it done Wednesday night. Need to, because if you lose, probably going to Boston. We're definitely going to
Boston. Yeah, you don't want that to be the first one out the gate, but still, if that's the case, I feel pretty good about that one, too. Even though they're the better team, they got the better record. Joel Embiid's healthy. He's healthy. So if that's the route we have to take, so be it.
And, man, if you win, you get the Knicks. I feel really good about that matchup. So discussing that, and also the Phillies. Coming off their split this weekend against the Pirates, go 2-2 against Pittsburgh. Pirates pretty good early in the season here. But still a team the Phillies should be better than, should beat. Are you concerned or frustrated? What would be the more apt word to describe your feelings? We both are frustrated, but I think it's a little too early to get concerned, Hugh, about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, frustrated, definitely. Definitely frustrated, but not too concerned. This offense is gonna turn around.
Yeah, they're gonna turn around. And when you talk about the offense and why I'm not concerned about the offense, is one of the guys who's not hitting right now is Bryce Harper. And I mean, he is so far down the list of concerns that I have with this team right now. Because we know Bryce is going to get going. Like, you know Bryce is going to start hitting. It's just a matter of time before he breaks out.
Yeah, it is. It's just unfortunate right now with everything that was said and all the expectations that we had for this season, that nobody's doing what they said they were going to do. Bottom line, nobody's doing what they said they were going to do as far as getting off to a fast start. And it's been a little bit of a slog, but like you said, you're still in a good spot. It's just that it's frustrating to have that game get away from you like it did yesterday.
Yeah, it did, and errors, bad base running, that stuff very frustrating. But Bryce has been struggling, and Rob Thompson talked about it a little bit after the game. Here's what Topper had to say about Bryce and his early season struggles.
Everything fine physically with Bryce Harper?
Yeah, he's just frustrated. He's just trying to do too much, I think, right now, and he's maybe overswinging a little bit and not getting his contact point isn't exactly where he usually has it. So, he's just got to fight through it.
So I think that's really what it is more than anything, Hugh, is Bryce. We saw this last year with him coming back off the surgery. Remember, for a while we talked about he's not hitting for power. When's he going to start hitting home runs? And it came around. I just think it's a matter of time, and sooner or later he's going to break out. Like, he's not in my top 10 concerns right now.
No, but there is some kind of concern about, you know, his base running a little bit. You know, you saw him over the last couple of days. It looked like his back is still kind of bothering him a little bit. But as far as him getting back off the schneider, if you will, or being able to do what Bryce Harper thinks, I think, yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think he's going to be fine. And Bryce can start a little slow. We've seen that in the past. But ultimately, I think he'll be all right in the base running. That's just a frustration thing. Not excusable, but something that I guess you can understand based on his struggles. 215-592-9494. What about you, Kyle? Are you worried about Bryce early on in the year here? Panic button time?
No panic button on Bryce Harper. I will say I do have my eye on the back thing. Like, if first
so
of all,
got tidy back a little bit.
Yeah, like, we knew that was an issue at the end of spring training. We're not seeing him leg out every double play, which, you know, like you said, it's not the worst thing in the world at this point, but it's, you know, it's not something that you really want to see from your star player. I would say I'm more concerned with the other guys on the offense than I am Bryce Harper in terms of turning it around. But that back thing feels like something to watch for sure.
Yeah, I don't think the back thing is a reason why he's not running it out all the time. Because Bryce, you know, he's a hustler, selective hustler, I'd say. But he has times when he can get a little mopey.
Here's what I'll say about the back thing. Because we had Eric Kratz on. It was maybe like middle of the offseason or a few weeks before the season started. And he actually made the point that Bryce Harper playing first base is worse on the back than, you know, being in the outfield. He's bending over all the time, crouching, diving. Like, it, just that spot is not very good for the back. So I definitely think that's something to keep an eye on.
I'd worry more if he wasn't making the plays he's making at first base. But he's still, yeah. I mean, you look at the diving plays, all that stuff, that makes me feel like he's all right, and that the lack of running it out, probably a little more to do with frustration than the back injury. What do you think, Hugh? Are you concerned at all about that?
The back injury?
Yeah.
I don't think at this point for Bryce, it's not enough of it's probably more I'm gonna say irritating than anything, because it's not enough to keep him out of the lineup, and it's not enough that where he feels that he can't be out there playing as much as he's playing. So no, not yet. But as far as what you've seen from him, it's concerning, because it could be one of those things that could linger and potentially get worse. But it doesn't feel like he feels that's the case.
Yeah, no, and it seems like he at least feels like he's good enough to play through it, and I think he's good enough to play through it. I think he'll be all right. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce? Yo, Bruce. Let's throw Bruce on here. Go to David in Drexel Hill. Hi, David.
Hey, guys, I got to say this. I wish that not just a few hosts, but I wish a few fans would think about the Eagles and the Sixers the way they've given the Phillies these breaks. If Jalen Hurts started out and they don't say they just lost the first two games, we'd be talking about get rid of him, made the wrong choice. He shouldn't even be here. And it'd be that early in the season, two games.
I think the biggest difference,
money and they stinking.
I think, you know, Dave, I think the biggest difference is in baseball, you got 162 opportunities. In football, you got 17.
Hey,
so,
you.
Yes, sir.
That's why I said if he messed up the first two games, we'd be talking about get him out of here.
Yeah, but them two games, them two crucial games, though. Two crucial.
Well, David, and
well,
also, David,
what's
hang on one second. They've earned the benefit of the doubt from what they've done the last couple of years, though.
Well, what the Eagles have done is went to a Super Bowl. What they have done is went to the playoffs.
They fell apart at the end of last year, though.
Like, but guess what? They went there, though. Better than nothing. But I really called about the Sixers. I want to say this about why I believe the Sixers. I don't have no fear in them, because I always argue who on the radio at night about I didn't like Embiid.
You did? You don't like Embiid?
Well, I like him this year. Because I was sick of him not going down low. I was sick of him falling on the ground all the time.
Flopping.
And my thing was, go in there and play bully ball. Show them. And he did it this season. He's knocking more people down than getting knocked down. and he's going down low more. You figure he's shooting less jump shots.
He's looking healthy. He look a little healthier.
Dude,
a lot healthier.
He got his game together, like being the most dominant man in the league, because I truly believe he easily is right there top two. And I don't even know who the other one is. I had to think about it, but that's how good he's playing. And what happened when he got hurt, it helped this team so much because the rest of these players got their game together, passing the ball, cutting everybody on the team want to score. So if Embiid come out and, like, I see the way the conversation going between him and the players, they're going to kick butt.
Well, this is the question, David. If Embiid doesn't play well on Wednesday night and loses, are you going to turn on him again?
Well, no, it depends on what happens. If he's going down low and doing the things I want, then that can happen. You can lose. But don't be in that game and be all of a sudden take 35 jump shots and don't go down low one time and come out with four rebounds. Then I am going to be mad at him.
Yeah, well, there you go, David. I hear you,
hey,
man.
Hey, love y'all, man, and y'all making my day, Hugh.
Appreciate
hey, blessings.
You.
All right.
Appreciate the call, David. And, yeah, I mean, it feels like, Hugh, this is a massive spot for Embiid on Wednesday night. Like, this is the kind of game where it's weird because he's had such an incredible career for a player as young as he is, but he really does lack that signature playoff moment. Like, he doesn't really have that playoff memory where you think back and say, yeah, that was where Joel Embiid stepped up big. It feels like this needs to be his postseason.
You know what's funny for me? It felt like he was doing that last year when he came out there and he just took over. I think it was when James Harden wasn't playing. And then it's like almost like when James came back, he kind of regressed a little bit. This is the year, I think, for Joel. I think everything has gone well for him. And like the caller said, the injury probably was a blessing in disguise. It remains to be seen. But I also understand and get how a lot of people out there, they're skeptical. They're real skeptical. They're going to sit back and wait till they actually see something before they buy into this. I mean, having your heart broken so many times, it's tough. It's tough to go out there and love again. But I feel good about this team, man, and I think that they're coming in with a much better attitude than they've had before.
It would honestly be so funny, though. Like, after all these years where we've had these incredible hopes going into the playoffs, and they've been one of the top seeds, and you look at it and you think, okay, well, they have a pretty good path. If it's this year where they find themselves in a play-in, Joel Embiid has this really bad knee injury with a couple months left before the postseason. If he ends up coming back from this injury and they win this play-in game and go on a run, that would just be incredible for this year to be the one where it didn't look like you had any hope and this to be the year it actually works out.
And this is the year I can hear people saying it now, which is okay. It's like, hey, I believed in him the whole time.
Yeah,
I mean, which you probably didn't, but it's okay to say that because that's what we do.
Yeah. I don't think anybody, even the people who believe in them now, believed in them the whole time.
No, they didn't. It was tough. It was some bad basketball. When Joel was hurt, it was some bad basketball being played, but I think that it gave them the opportunity to have a guy like Kelly Oubre kind of, you know, he plays spotty at times, but kind of step up and you know, let his personality shine a little bit. I think it was great for Tyrese Maxey. I really, really do. And I think that they appreciate more what the big fella brings to the table because, just like somebody said earlier, with Joel Embiid out there on the court, this team looks totally different.
Yeah, and
totally different.
That's a great point, Hugh, as far as this being a blessing in disguise, not just for Embiid, but for Maxey. Because now, like, that experience of playing for 2 months and being the lead guy and being the guy who needs to show up and carry the team every night, that really is invaluable. That's not something that Maxey's ever had. I mean, before Joel, even if Joel was out, he had Harden, and Harden was kind of the guy. Now Maxey has that kind of experience where you basically have two guys who know what it's like to carry the team now if needed. And I do think that was very beneficial for him to have those, you know, 20 games or whatever where he's the lead guy.
Yeah, and you can tell that. But he also appreciates and respects what Joel brings to the table. And he also understands, and I think this is important, that he can't do it by himself. I think James Harden, when he went out there and he had that monster game, he felt like he should have been the guy. And he was making more of a statement that, you know, if you run this offense through me, then we should be okay. And when they didn't, he kind of just, you know, was like, I'm gonna show you what it is not to have me out there running offense. I think that, you know, these two guys together have a great symbiotic relationship and they respect what each other brings to the game, and that's important.
Definitely. Very important to have your two stars on the same page, and Embiid and Maxey certainly are. Let's go to Ray in Morristown. What's up, Ray?
Hey, PK, Hugh, how are you guys this afternoon?
What's going on, Ray? How you doing?
Guys, listen, we want to chime in on this conversation with the Eagles because I am very concerned that they're allocating a lot of resources to offense when offense really was not the problem last year. But I was telling Kyle, I said, the caveat to that may be, this is my theory. Offense was good enough last year where they should have been scoring at least 30 points a game in my estimation. But since they didn't, I was wondering if there was any animosity possibly among some of the other players due to contracts. Seems like they're shoring up a lot of their contracts. They paid the linemen. They paid one of the receivers today. They brought in Saquon. So there's really no reason for anybody to be discontent as far as money goes on offense this year. If that had something to do with this unsettling element in the locker room, then hopefully that takes care of that. But they do have to allocate more resources at this point to defense, because you see, you can't just go out there with no defense. And that's what basically the last 7 weeks of the season turned out. You know, you had little sisters of the poor out there trying to play defense, and they couldn't get anything done. You have to put some players out there. And I'm just concerned that if they have just bought all into the offense, you can't do that. You have to have some kind of defense, and it has to be something that can stop somebody sometimes.
I think it's going to be a young defense. I look at the model that the Kansas City Chiefs followed, not last year, but the year before that, and I feel like there's going to be some opportunities for some young linebackers maybe, or some young corners to go out there and you know, get their feels for the game during the course of the season. And it might be some growing pains, but I think that it's going to pay them huge dividends towards the end of the season. I think that's what they're hoping on.
Do you think that's enough, though? I mean, it's a situation where you have all these younger players trying to prove themselves, but this is a win-now window, Hugh. I don't know that you can sacrifice the season trying to figure out what you have on defense with the young fellas.
Well, I think, you know, when I look at the model, which is Kansas City, they did that the first season. And then they turned around and their defense carried them the next season, and they got two Super Bowls out of it. So
yeah,
I mean,
but that's also an Andy Reid coach team.
Yeah,
Steve
but
Spagnuolo,
I hear what you're saying.
We have
Ray.
New coordinators coming in. We don't even know what kind of synergy we're going to have with this coordinator.
Thanks,
Ray. I hear everything that you're saying, and you're right. But the model, I'm not talking about the coaching staff, and those are the X factors that we're about to find out about. They feel like they got the coach that they want in Coach Sirianni because he's still here. But they're following the model. And that's all I'm talking about. Like, everything you're saying is true. We have a new coaching staff. I feel like this coaching staff that we have right now is a better coaching staff to teach than the one that we had last year. And the reason why I say that is this. It's because there was a lot of times during the course of the week, during the course of the season, where as the season progressed, it just felt like there were mistakes being made on a week-to-week basis that weren't being corrected. For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And they just went out there and they played. And then you hear these stories that came out that Coach Johnson was intimidated by AJ. And, you know, you have other guys on the defensive side of the ball not really confident on what the defensive coordinator's calling. So now they're trying to make up their own game plans and stuff. So I feel like going into this season that the coaching staff is going to be of sound mind and body, and they're going to make sure – that everybody understands their assignments before they go into football games.
Yeah, and I'd agree with Ray just in this sense. Like, when you talk about the offseason as a whole, I found it to be a little bit confusing as far as what the plan is. Not offense, defense, but this is a win-now team. Like, you are playing to win now, certainly on the offensive side. And on defense, it feels like they're planning down the road a little bit. Like you said, Hugh, they're seemingly going to play a lot of young players and look to develop these guys. I mean, if it works out, that's great. But I don't know if they're going to be ready for the end of this year. And this is a team, their goal is not just to win the division. Their goal is to win the Super Bowl this
season.
Yeah,
and that's what, like I said, that's why I feel like they feel like they have they're going to have the pieces that are going to help contribute when it's time to contribute the most. And that's at the end of the year. Because when you look at this team, and we know what the collapse looked like last year, I feel like they feel like they're going to take their lumps early this time, and they're going to hit their momentum, and they're going to hit their stride at the end of the year, kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs did.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, and we tend to forget this team beat the Chiefs
They did. And
like they beat and they beat them in exciting fashion.
Beat them with defense.
They beat them in exciting fashion. That's something that, you know, you cannot deny. They beat them in exciting fashion. So that's where I feel that they feel the model is going. The model is trending towards.
Right. That, and that was before the defense fell apart.
I do feel like you can make an argument, though, in the at least when we talk about the Chiefs-Ravens game championship.
Uh-huh.
Like, if the Ravens had a few more weapons on offense and were able to score, then they would have beat the Chiefs.
You could make that argument, but you could – I mean, the Chiefs' defense was also legit in that.
It was. They shut it down. They had Lamar Jackson shook.
It was legit
weapons,
all year.
Those
he
weapons
was shooketh.
Were good enough, like, up to that point for the Ravens.
I think it's one of those things where if you have a good enough offense, it's like in today's NFL, it's going to beat defense every time. The Ravens didn't have a good enough offense. That's how I look at that.
I don't agree with every time. I think a lot of the time. But you look at that Super Bowl with two good offenses, that was largely a defensive game. I mean, the offenses didn't do a ton until late in that game. And, you know, part of that is you can only hold a good offense down for so long, to your point. But that was a lot of field goals, not a lot of touchdowns until late.
Well, the flip side of that is I feel like the Niners squandered their opportunities to get out ahead of the Chiefs on the offense. They were up 10 points at the half. They should have been up way more. I mean, they blew it. Yeah. Their offense blew it.
No,
That's the way I look at it.
They did kind of blow it in that game. But I just think you need more. I just think you need something on that side of the ball. And who knows? Maybe Howie's got something up his sleeve.
Maybe.
Like, are we feeling a big Howie move next week to improve the defense? Because I think you need to bring in just give me one difference-making player.
They did improve the defense, though.
They brought back CJ GJ.
They brought in Devin White.
Yeah, Devin White. I mean, Devin White got benched last year.
I mean, they did lose their best defensive player.
What's that?
They did lose their best defensive player.
They did.
It's very up in the air of whether they improved it.
They got Bryce Huff.
Yeah, Bryce Huff.
Question mark.
Big question.
Gave him a ton of bread. KB, no. See, this is the thing. I understand as a fan, it's a question mark for you.
It is a question mark.
As a fan.
May I be allowed to finish?
Absolutely not.
But the way that they paid him, for them, is not a question mark. They paid that man, like, think about this for a minute, people.
Better be right, man.
They paid that man like he was better than Hassan Reddick. And it might not be the case. But I tend to, like, and this is not being homerish, but they saw something in him that they didn't see in Hassan Reddick. And I tried to point that out to folks, you know, that, you know, when I was telling them that and they told me I don't know what I'm talking about, even though I did play the position, they were like, no, I ain't trying to hear that.
Hey.
So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. They saw something. They gave the man $51 million.
Hey,
That's all I'm saying.
The Eagles bringing in a DN from the Jets, it never goes wrong.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They gave the man 51 yams?
51, yep. 51
they gave him 51 yams.
They gave Carson Wentz a huge extension, too. I'm just saying.
But listen,
just because you pay a guy doesn't mean they're right.
They better be right.
Yeah, before that, I think they were hoping that all the stuff that they heard about Carson was not
hope
true.
Hope is not a strategy,
yeah,
Hugh.
Hope is not a strategy, but I think that's what happened.
Well, they better be right about Bryce Huff. 215-592-9494. Open lines, you want to jump in on any of this stuff. Concerned with the Phillies, more concerned or frustrated through the first 16. Confidence in the Sixers versus Miami on Wednesday night, and we will continue to react to the Devontae Smith extension. Plus, when we come back, we have to add to another person to the list of Tobias Harris delusion. And it's ridiculous what is going on with these Tobias Harris people. We'll get to that coming up next. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas on the Midday Show, 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking about the Phillies, Pirates, concerned or frustrated when it comes to the Phillies. Start a three-game set with the Colorado Rockies tonight.
Colorado Rockies.
4-12 Colorado Rockies. Just give us a sweep. Give us a sweep.
Aren't you glad this game is here? Because I think last week, well, for all the fans that were going, it wasn't snowing in Colorado last week.
Was it?
I think so.
Oh. I was in Florida last week.
Yeah, well, it was snowing. I think it's snowing. It's still
Phillies cold. might need the comfort of Coors Field to hit some home runs, get this power going.
Hey, it's warming up, so hopefully we can stop with some
of the. My least favorite trope is that, like, oh, once it heats up, the offense will start going. Why are other teams hitting?
Yeah,
we can't.
It's silly. And Nick Castellanos the other day was working in the radio booth Saturday, and he asked about a slow start by Scott and Larry. He said, "Hey, it's cold. I'm a Florida boy. I don't really like the cold." So. I know
people hate to hear that, but that
oh, come on, you.
I promise you.
Don't you start.
No, listen, let me tell you. Last year, famously, we're going to the playoffs, and it was like Miami was going. Where was Miami going? Where was cold? Kansas City? Was it Kansas City?
Yeah. Well, that was like freakishly cold.
No, but I remember telling Kyle. Kyle got so mad at me. We're in the meeting. They got to play in the cold weather. Kansas City got to play in the cold weather. And I'm like, Kyle, I'm telling you, going from Miami – to Kansas City to play in that weather, that's a big deal.
No, I'm still very strong on the fact that there's not a single player in the NFL who is used to minus 30 degree temperatures. That's not a thing. You don't care who you are, where you're from.
You are accustomed to it. And I'm not going to say used, even though it's
nobody
the
gets
same
used
thing.
To minus 30 degrees.
You're accustomed to it.
I'm with Kyle on this one here. Nobody's used to playing in that weather.
I'm trying to tell you, it hits different when. You jump off, like you leave. If you leave a warm weather state, and you've been in that warm weather the whole time, and then you go up north to play a game or whatever, like the way the wind slaps you across the lips, it hits. It's different, man. I'm telling you.
Tua also might just stink.
Like. I mean, dude, they froze to death out there.
Yeah.
Did you see how the cheetah was getting violated? Tariq Hill, he was laying out there on the field getting pummeled. And he just laid. He was like mad. He played in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And he wasn't ready for it.
That's the point. Is that it's so cold. Nobody ever
right.
plays
There's
that
no nobody
but,
on
but
that
I
field
you,
was
man.
Like, "Ooh, I'm used to this." Like,
but,
what
but
are we
I'm
doing?
I'm telling
here?
You, the Kansas City Chiefs were ready for it because they knew, like in their minds, that was going to be the ultimate equalizer.
No, the Chiefs,
or the ultimate negator.
The Chiefs went into that already as the more physical team. It might have lended, like the conditions might have lended themselves to the Chiefs winning that football game, but I won't relent. Nobody's used to minus 30 degrees.
That's why I love you so much, because I know he won't.
Yeah, I think both teams had to play through. But, hey, maybe that played a factor in that game. But hopefully now it's warming up. Phils can start hitting some home runs. So talking about that, Eagles extend Devontae Smith. You missed that earlier. 3 years, $75 million. Are you concerned about the defense with all the eggs going in the offensive basket here? I mean, this is a good move. You lock up Devontae Smith long term. Nobody wants him going anywhere. But as far as the immediate future, man, this defense looks like it's going to be pretty tough, and they're going to need to score a lot of points.
They're going to be offensive. Well, they're going to be defensively challenged. They're definitely not going to be offensively challenged. They're going to be defensively challenged. I'm okay with this, though. And I know people are going to be looking like, what the hell's wrong with you? Dude, this offense is going to have the potential. Score at least 30 to 40 points a game.
Jalen Hurts, like, can we just say right now, he needs to be, like, clearly the best quarterback in the NFC this year?
Top three.
With this offense?
Has to be.
With this supporting cast, I think he's got to be the best in the conference.
He has a hell of a supporting cast, man, with top three. Definitely top three.
Yeah. So, if you want to get in on that, you're welcome to. And the Sixers playing game Wednesday night, are you confident or nervous? A lot of confidence with the 76ers, which is just surprising.
Because Joel Embiid is healthy.
Joel's back.
He's healthy.
They're a very good team, but the postseason struggles really have me nervous. But we got to address something that happened yesterday.
What happened?
And, well, first off, this goes back a while. Because one of the only good things about the Sixers potentially losing the play and going out of the playoffs early is that we wouldn't have to watch Tobias Harris anymore. So
crumble cookie.
I just can't stand the guy. But
I don't know why everybody be hating on Tobias Harris. But.
You don't know why people hate on Tobias Harris?
Hugh,
are you nuts? We're about to add you to this list of delusion.
This is the longest contract in the history of
statement.
Sports.
No, listen, I understand. Tobias Harris
stinks. He's not good.
Let me finish.
Poor you.
Tobias Harris is an anomaly in the NBA. Tobias Harris has, to my recollection, has no All-star appearances, right?
Nope.
No MVP votes or anything like that.
MVP votes.
No, no. Wait a minute. Hold up. I'm trying to set this story up the way, you know, trying to make it more intriguing if y'all would just allow. Allow me. Entertain my ignorance for just a little while. Like, he has no MVP votes. None of that, right? No All-Star games. Anything like that. No most valuable player on his teams. Anything like that. But he's made more money than anybody who he's made a lot of money. Like, what, over $200 million and has none of those accolades by his name.
No.
None of those accolades by his name.
No.
That, to me, is a winner in the eyes
don't
of—
Don't you dare.
He's a financial winner.
You, dude, we call him for what he is. He's
He was trying to trigger us.
You're way too obsessed with the money.
I'm not. He's a financial winner. He's a financial winner. In the annals of finances— When you talk about not having any of those accolades by your name and still get that kind of bread, $200 million plus,
that's not something to be celebrated.
Well, why not?
Because it's a hole on our team, Hugh.
That's a,
we might need to bench him in the playoffs, and you're celebrating his wallet.
No, like, listen, I understand the liability that he presents for us. I'm talking about his win in life.
Screw that.
Like his life
win. We're selfish here.
His life hack. That's a win.
He has made a lot of money.
A ton of bread.
To be extremely average at his job.
Average at best.
Yes, average at best.
And the NBA, and nobody wants to talk about this, but shout out to the NBA, especially in the East, for the parity that they have. When you talk about all these teams that we're talking about, playoff teams and everything like that, most of, from the number one seed to the number, nine seed or whatever, seven games maybe. Separates all of those teams.
Yeah, and a lot of the teams just don't care about the regular season as much.
Yeah.
I think that plays into
Shout out to the NBA for making it pair. Like this, the East especially, because I don't really too much watch the West.
And this,
it's exciting.
The series are going to be really interesting.
Yes, very, very interesting, because it's not a given. Even though Boston has the best record, it's not a given. It's not a given that they're going to win it all. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Shout out to the NBA for that, man.
You know what is a given?
What's that?
Tobias Harris is going to stink.
Yeah. Tobias Harris made a ton of bread.
Thank you, Kyle.
And his daddy loves him.
Man, did you see how enraged Kyle and I get at the mention?
The Tobias apologetics by Hugh is just...
Yeah, I'm not apologizing.
We're going to have to add Hugh to this trio.
I'm not apologizing.
Screw his bank account,
I'm like, wow. No, because the thing... See, let me just give you a little insight how I'm looking at this. As a former athlete, because when I think about trying to get paid, like there are certain things that go along with getting paid. Like you got to make a Pro Bowl. You got to have, like for me, so many sacks a year.
Right.
You have to be a player that's considered an elite player in your field or your era in order to get that kind of elite player bread. You know what I mean? He hasn't done any of that.
Well, this is the thing. According to some people, he is that player.
No, yeah.
Like, according to some people, he is that player.
But he just don't have the accolades to prove it.
Right. And this goes back months. And first off, here was Tobias's agent. No conflict of interest here, by the way. His agent / dad, Terrell Harris, talking about Tobias and his stature in the NBA.
A lot of people don't understand that. But if you look at his analytics on him, there's four players in the history of the NBA. Larry Bird. Dirk Nowitzki, Kawhi Leonard, and KD, small forwards I'm talking about, right. Has been a 90-50-40 player in the history of the NBA. There's only four. And nobody talks about Tobias.
Right, right.
And when I bring it up to them, we don't need to talk about that. So my question has always been, nobody can give me an answer. Why is he not utilized in their – why is he not a priority in their offense?
I get he's your son.
And is his agent?
I mean, come on, dude.
His dad
get
has got.
Here.
Do you like that? Even makes it better. Do you understand that his dad has gotten his son paid, like with all those analytics and stuff? Like, and the irony is, TK, listening to what he says, it kind of validates everything that he's saying about his son. Like what he's saying. Like even though he doesn't have. Like, wait a minute, hold on.
Does he fit in with those other guys?
No, he does. Like the fact that he doesn't have those accolades. And by the way, people, I'm not trying to trigger anybody. I'm not trying to trigger anybody. I'm just trying to bring to you the irony of all of this, because I am one of those guys that feel like in order for you to kind of make the money that you've made, you have to have some of those accolades. But he hasn't, and he's made that kind of money. Nobody else finds that kind of fascinating?
No.
Seriously, no.
I find it enraging.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Do me a favor,
Hugh. Instead of looking at his wallet, look at this as a Sixers fan. This guy stinks.
No, listen to what I'm saying. And I am looking at it as a Sixers fan. Like
you admire his business.
That's it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like he fleeced. Who is it? Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey. He's fleecing us.
He's robbing us of joy of watching
the
this
fans
team.
And you're endorsing it.
I'm just okay. Let me stop because I do
ridiculous.
Feel like I'm trying to trigger some people. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just think that's kind of fascinating that he's able to. His dad has put him in position to be one of the most non-decorated. Successful NBA players
Screw
in the league.
Screw that. Yeah. Who cares?
I'm just saying that's pretty impressive.
It's not.
So Terrell Harris puts Tobias in the same crew as Larry Bird, Kawhi Leonard, Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Durant. One of the guys.
And the Sixers paid him kind of like that too, though.
Yes, they did.
They kind of paid him like that.
Talk about his contract one more time in a positive way. I'm going to freak.
Okay, yeah. That contract is a disgrace.
It is.
Thank you. Okay, now let's get to another person who endorsed Tobias. This was the great Julius Erving a few months ago on Tobias.
So you don't know what's going to happen, but when you look at the Harden, Embiid, Maxey, Harris combination, you have potentially four guys. If they play their careers in Philadelphia, they will all be in the Raptors. With Tobias, where he's going to end up, I don't know where he's going to end up. But,
no, but you talked this morning about how
stays,
the role players
yeah, stays
are
here
so
in,
important.
If he stays here in Philly, then he's going to be one of the all-time best players in Philadelphia.
I mean, one of the all-time best players in Philadelphia.
Can't go against Doc, man. It's the Doc.
I can, and I will.
You're an idiot, Doc. Yeah. Ridiculous.
That was...
Well, tough crowd, man. Tough crowd.
Just terrible. And then yesterday, Tobias Harris reached a very important milestone. He became the 165th highest scorer in NBA history. And Spencer Haywood, former NBA player, notably, I think, with the Lakers, sent out a congratulatory video to Tobias Harris. Here was how that sounded.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris, in passing me on the all-time NBA scoring list. Man, you just had a great career. I love it. And, you know, I picked you guys this year to be in the finals from the East. So congratulations before you get to the finals. But you got the championship and championships in your sight, as well as the Hall of Fame jacket. Yeah.
Have any of these people actually ever watched him play? Like, I feel like that's Tobias' dad, like, said, hey, man, please record this video, and I'll send you a check. I'll give you a little payout. Tobias can afford it, as we know.
That's lofty. And it's funny how, don't you think it's ironic that basketball players see Tobias Harris totally different than the fans do? Is that irony lost on anybody?
No. I think it raises the question if they're seeing Tobias Harris at all. Are you watching the game?
I feel very confident saying Spencer Haywood has never seen Tobias
Zero
Harris
shot.
Play.
And I'll even take it a step further. I think Dr. J, a little fraudulence there with how much he pays attention to the Sixers, because nobody in the right mind who watches the Sixers that often thinks Tobias Harris will end up in the rafters.
No.
He went from the rafters to the Hall of Fame. Is there any Hall of Famer in the Hall of Fame that hasn't been to an All-Star game?
Oh, the NBA Hall of Fame or Basketball Hall of Fame is kind of a joke.
Yeah, it is. It's combination of college.
College. So maybe he'll go as a college player, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't even know where he played college basketball. Tobias Harris stinks, okay? And I don't care about how much money he's made. He stinks, and I cannot wait until I don't need to watch him play basketball.
This is it, though, right? This is his last year here.
Better be.
If Daryl Morey decides to bring him back, I think he needs to be fired.
He went to Tennessee.
That's right.
He was an SEC kid.
He was a Tennessee guy. But
he should go back there.
Can't take it. Yeah, send him back. Go play for the Grizzlies. You know, close to home. 215-592-9494. But your feelings on Tobias Harris and the what'd you call it, Kyle? You called it an epidemic of
Tobias
Harris
supporters?
Yeah, it's
an epidemic of delusion. Tobias delusion.
And now we got to throw Hugh in there, too.
It's unbelievable what I'm hearing from this guy. Screw his business. He's a basketball player.
Hey, it's Ike has his team Toby. Are you going to join team Toby?
I'm just saying, like, he did pass Spencer Haywood is a Hall of Famer, and he did pass him on the all-time scoring list. Dude, I'm just saying, dog.
165th.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to boil that.
Kyle, I'm not trying to make you upset.
You're doing a very bad job at it then.
It's the facts, man. Fine. If you want to hear the facts, I'm just saying.
I'll give you another fact. He sucks.
There is no more dangerous thing to do in Philadelphia than try to defend Tobias.
I'm not trying to defend him. I think it's kind of fascinating. It's fascinating. Two things that are fascinating here. That he made the kind of money that he's made. And he's not been to not nairn one. How close was he ever to being in an All-Star game?
In 2021, he was very disappointed he didn't make it. He made a game-winning shot. He was screaming, "I'm an All-Star," and then he didn't make it.
Not in his career yet has made an All-Star game.
No.
But he making money like All-Star. He's making All-Star money.
Yeah.
Don't nobody find that ironic?
I find it to be a problem.
Yeah, I think it was just a bad contract.
I'm sorry.
It was a bad contract.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead.
You better cut. Yeah, you cut the Tobias crap
funny.
Now, dude.
It's funny. Like, I'm looking at some of the, like, just looking at when Spencer gave him the shout out, like, people are, like, talking about future Hall of Famer in question mark.
Because people are idiots.
I hope I hope the sweet baby Jesus that I'm here. And that happens when he goes into my God.
I just can't take it.
That would be bananas.
Now, hey, and I'm not even going to entertain the idea that he can do it, but if he were to step up in the playoffs, we'd change our opinions on him, but we know he won't. He never does.
We hope so. Will.
I've seen him brick dunks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, the guy stinks.
Yeah, he just disappears. Like, you'll realize in the fourth quarter on Wednesday night, oh, yeah, Tobias is playing. He's got, like, 6 points, 3 of 10 from the field or something. But, yeah, Spencer Haywood thinks he's a Hall of Famer. Let's go to Alex in Frankfurt. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good afternoon. How is everyone?
What's going on,
lovely
man?
Monday in Zamunda.
Not as good now, Alex.
I didn't trigger everybody.
I'm sitting here just cracking up. I'm trying to eat my lunch. I'm spitting out my lunch. What the heck is going on over there? Is it comedy day?
No, I'm just saying, you don't find it ironic that this man ain't nay sniffed you know what I'm saying, All-Star game, made that ton of money, and people are talking about him like he's a potential All-Star. You don't find that ironic?
Yeah, I do find it strange, though. You're right.
Like Hall of Fame basketball players. Nobody else finds that ironic but me. Kyle's about to throw a rock at me.
Ironic is the wrong word. It's idiotic.
I would say somebody's smoking some ooh-wee if they think he's going to the Hall of Fame. Somebody doing something. You mean some kind of mood, mind altering chemical of some type. I don't know.
that would be a good explanation, Alex.
Yeah, because No. But my point was with the Eagles. Somebody correct me. He had double digit sacks. How many years in a row?
Who, Bryce Huff?
No.
Reddick.
Reddick.
Here he was
four
like
years in a row.
Yeah. And here he's had two back to back.
Yeah.
Double digit sacks.
My thing is, why would you do that for the unknown?
Yeah, Alex, it's projection on their part, definitely. I mean, they think that Huff is younger, and I guess they think he can develop into what Hassan Reddick was, and I think clearly they think Reddick's due to fall off here.
My thing is, why not add to it? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're cooking something and you sample and you say, this needs maybe a little bit more pepper or whatever, that's what I would do, me personally. I would add to it. Because, I mean, the man's proven himself. So if you're looking further down the line, okay, add a younger player that's capable or possibly capable of doing exactly what you got this player doing right now at the present to add to it. That's just me. You know, I don't know. I'm not a GM, but, that's the way I see it. You know, I Why?
Yeah, no, I
don't know. I don't get tongue tied, but I'm kind of tongue tied. Right
I got you, Alex, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And yeah, I think what Alex was saying is, why didn't the Eagles just add Bryce Huff to the existing pieces? And I would have liked that as well. I don't know. I think with the Reddick thing, if they weren't going to give him an extension, I don't think it would have been a healthy environment for all those guys to be playing together with the contract Huff just got if you're not going to give Reddick more.
Yeah, it's one of those things that has everybody scratching their head. And the only thing that I can come up with, and I don't have anything to back this up with, this is just me speculating like I like to do. I like to speculate a lot, is that the way he graded out for them wasn't that high, and they felt like even though he was giving you the sack numbers, that he was a liability in the running game. That's the only thing that I can come up with. And I know people are talking about, oh, that sounds ridiculous. Well, okay, you try to explain it. You try to explain why he's not here, especially in a passing league where, you know, you got, like, to everybody's point, you got two guys out there that can rush the passer that makes your team that much stronger. He must have been so bad as far as grading out that they were like, you know what, no, we can't do this with him because he's out there. He's out there hurting the integrity of the defense. I don't know. I don't know that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if they went the route that they went and got him out of here the way that they did, that it had to do something with that.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where, you know, it certainly seems like now it was a Bryce Huff or a Sam Reddick situation. They chose Huff, and they better be right. Like, they just need to be right about this one, because if you bring in Bryce Huff and he's not as productive as you think he's going to be, and we're looking at the Jets and Sam Reddick has another 13, 14 sack season, I mean, it's going to be a really bad look for Howie in the front office.
Yeah, it is. But I think that they're banking on, like, this is the one thing that I feel is going to be the case, is that they're going to do everything in their power, because they know how this looks, especially when you talk about the player that we've seen Hassan Reddick to be on an every down basis, as opposed to a guy who had 10 sacks in a limited role. Mm. They're going to do everything in their power to make sure that he's given every opportunity to have success. I wholeheartedly believe that. Like, if that means that they're going to design defenses around the fact that allow him to get to the quarterback and keep him fresh and all this other stuff, and allow him to do that, they're going to do that. He's going to be one of those guys. Now, it might be a situation where you might compare the snaps, and they might not be as great as the ones Hassan got, but they're going to have him in a position where every time that there's a passing down, that he's going to be out there on the field, and they're going to put him in position to be real successful.
Yeah, I agree. 215-592-9494. Just an hour left for us to go. Jump in the lines if you're as appalled as Kyle and I are with what you're hearing from Hugh about Tobias Harris. Just unbelievable. Your concern level with the Phillies, Sixer Seat Wednesday, and when we get back, we'll do the daily mock at 1 o'clock after the break, and the Eagles fans will be able to take a breath of major relief when they hear this news. What is it? We'll tell you next. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.